SBS live streams and podcasts are supported by advertising.
We would like to acknowledge the traditional owners of the land Say Kimchi is being recorded on and pay our respects to the Cammeraygal people and their elders past and present.
We also acknowledge the traditional owners from all Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander lands you're listening from.
Hey, I'm Shona Yang.
And I'm Harry Jun, and this is
Say Kimchi. Say Kimchi is an 8-episode podcast that gives you a snapshot of Korean culture through a Korean-Australian lens.
The name Say Kimchi comes from what Koreans say right before you take a photo. In English-speaking countries, you say cheese, but in Korea, you say kimchi.
Say kimchi.
Shona, did you have many Korean friends growing up?
Actually, none in primary school. I only started developing Korean friendships in high school and uni.
Oh, I'm so jealous. But luckily, in this episode, we're talking all about relationships and socialising for Korean-Australian communities.
Mm-hmm. Harry, when I was in primary school, I was one of two Asians in my grade and actually the only Korean, I think, in my school at the time. I went to a primary school in the inner city suburbs of Sydney. And so growing up, that was quite a different experience to my high school life. How about you?
Yeah, I can relate because you remember I grew up in Wollongong. Mm-hmm. So there were very few Koreans in my school. There are a couple Asians, but I think only two Koreans in my high school, me and my brother, and then he graduated.
Oh no.
And so I think I was
solo
like,
dolly.
Yeah, I was the only one. But I think growing up from primary school to high school, me staying in Wollongong, I struggled to make Korean friends. I made my first Korean friend in university.
Wow.
Pretty much. Korean friends. And I'm still friends with them right now. Chris, Sunny and Jong. But we met in university. And I think it's interesting to talk about this stuff because the way we met was in a Korean society.
Oh,
in
like a shinipsing.
Yeah. A Korean culture society in the university I attended. And Korean universities have this thing called MT. Did you ever go on MT?
I didn't because when I started uni, I was actually underage. I didn't turn 18 until halfway through. And by then, a lot of the initiation or introductions for like the first year students was over.
So you're a smart kid. But we got to explain what MT is. So MT stands for membership training that they do in universities in Korea where if you're a first year student, you go to these. It's kind of like a retreat or a camp. But the slang for MT is masigo toago, which means to drink and vomit.
So an excessive amount of alcohol is consumed.
Yeah, a hazing ritual for young people to, like, you socialize obviously over alcohol, but also it's, you know, people get a bit too loose and go a bit crazy. But that's how I met my Korean Australian mates.
But I find that so interesting because you had no Korean friends in high school. And I started making Korean friends. I definitely explored my Koreanness in high school.
Okay.
But even then at uni, when I was coming across all these Korean societies, I remember feeling a little bit like, look, my Korean's not good enough. And everyone in these societies seems to be very fluent in Korean speaking. So I probably won't really gel that well.
Wait, okay. Here's a question. Your Korean friends from high school, were they Korean Australian, like Australian born?
They were a mix. So I had Korean Australian born. My close friends are all Koreans born in Australia. But later in high school, I had a lot of international Korean friends too.
Because this is the thing for me, like in Wollongong and then going from Wollongong to Sydney. So the friends I made in university when I went to Sydney, they're all Australian born Koreans.
Oh.
So we didn't speak Korean to each other.
Yeah, right.
And so when I went to uni, I went to these societies and like you said, like my Korean
wasn't good.
Don't
they all speak Korean?
They all speak Korean.
Yes, that's why I'm so surprised that you went because
it was intimidating to a certain degree. Yeah. And I think it's a relatable thing for any, you know, first gen, second gen Korean Australians to sort of feel a bit timid when you're meeting sometimes, you know, international students or Korean people that they're fluent in Korean. You're in a society or a camp or an MT where everyone's speaking fluent Korean and I'm walking in like, hey, Gowan, you're good?
For good reason, did they make you do like, so I moved high schools in year 10.
Okay.
In my second school, there was an older female Korean international student. And she was in a group of international onnido.
Uh-huh.
Onnido is older sisters.
Yes.
And I heard that during my first couple of weeks at this new school, they thought I was incredibly unapproachable because I wasn't 인사 안 했다고, which basically means I didn't formally bow or formally introduce myself to my elders.
So you didn't do the Korean thing of showing respect to your elders, which isn't just limited to old people. Mm-hmm. It's if someone's even a year older than you.
Any Korean you meet, one of the first questions they ask you is 몇 년생이야? Like, what year were you born?
How
because
old
that
are you?
Establishes, yeah, that establishes a hierarchy.
Even in high school, when kids are already self-conscious and very sensitive, like to establish a power structure like that is actually really important.
Yeah, and actually thinking back, that's probably why I was scared to go to these.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
No, that's what I'm saying.
I'm processing this many, many years later.
It explains a lot about your hesitation to socialize with, you know, university Korean students. But for me, because that also explains why I wasn't scared or anything at all, because I didn't worry about that. Because if anything, I wanted to join these Korean clubs in uni to improve my connection to my culture. And to meet Korean people and even, hey, maybe practice my Korean a little bit.
Mm.
So it drew me to the society.
Koreans.
Yeah, to Koreans. Like going to uni and also going from Wollongong to Sydney,
yeah.
Like seeing so many different people around. It was at first quite overwhelming, but then I took it as an opportunity. And I remember actually there's a story at I think one of the MTs I went to. I went to several. But one of the MTs I went to, we were in a dining hall situation and a bunch of Korean international students were speaking like Korean to each other. And I walked in and I was like, oh yeah, how's it going? And all that. And they kind of laughed and stuff. And they said that I sound weird. And I was like, what do you mean I sound weird? And they said that my accent, it wasn't like a lot of the English they had heard.
Yeah, right.
It's just sounded so different. And I explained like, nah,
Nah.
I said, this is good because I was born here and this is how I sound. At first, I didn't take any offense and I wasn't upset because that's just how I grew up. I can't really change it. And I think they appreciated the fact that I wasn't really ashamed about it or whatever. And I explained to them, yeah, and I can't speak Korean. But, you know, on the one hand, you're here to study in Australia.
So you should be my friend.
Well, yeah, but if you guys want
to
learn English.
How to make friends 101.
Exactly, yeah. If you guys want to learn English, then we can, like, bond and share and everything. And that really broke the ice in terms of feeling self-conscious.
Yeah, that's so interesting. Yeah, because my experience was so different with international students.
Was it tense?
From Korea. One or two were good friends, but for the majority, they were a little bit intimidating comparatively, like some of my other friends in the grade, my other peers. They weren't really that rough and tough, but I felt like the Korean international students, also because they're 1 year older, were a little bit more like happy to skip a period, have a cigarette at the back of the school, like a little bit different to how non-Korean friends would play. During lunch.
How deep does this sombae, like senior, respect your elders, social hierarchy thing, how deep was that in your friendship-making life?
Well, I found it, in my experience, it was pretty, like, formidable, those...
The whole time? Like, it was always something at the back of your mind?
Yeah, I actually think it was quite, it was very apparent, the age difference. I referred to one of the friends in the group as Onni, which is older sister.
Yeah.
And she always loved that position of like, oh, trust me, I know what's good. Or like, I always assumed that leadership role in that group.
But, and for someone who didn't really have access to that kind of level of socializing, like that Korean level of socializing, I felt a bit jealous. Because it cuts both ways. Obviously, showing respect to someone who's only a year older than you, like it feels a bit like, oh, what is this? I don't want to have to do this. But on the other side, from the Korean aspect, which I love and appreciate, there's also a responsibility of being older where you take care of the people who are younger than you. And you, there's it's like a family.
That's so true.
You know, Onni means older sister, but familial term, right?
Yeah, is a certain affection, definitely.
That's right. It cuts both ways. Obviously, it's bad. But I wanted the nice parts of it. And so I felt a little jealous that I didn't have part of that with my own social groups, you know?
Yeah, no, definitely true, because I remember there'd be a lot of meals during my first year of uni that older Koreans would buy for me and they would, and then I'd be like, oh, I'll get the next one.
Yeah.
And they'll say, no, just pass it forward onto the next younger grade that comes through.
See, that is such a perfect example of Korean culture and Australian culture kind of clashing.
Yeah, for sure.
Korean culture is like the elders, yeah, they do kind of push you around a little bit, but then they'll provide, they pay for your meals. Like that's a thing and they don't expect it to be given back. Whereas
in Korean culture,
in Korean culture, but in Australian culture, it's your shout, my shout. You do rounds. You know what I mean? It goes around where it's like sort of equal, you know? Yep.
But, I'll pay you back.
Yeah, but you won't be paying back your senior. No. You'll be paying back to the – you're paying it forward to the next person.
They're doing that for me because they received that from their elders as
That's right. Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's so
It is really interesting. And it's interesting because I'm Australian born and none of this was really familiar to me until I just had to learn on the go.
Do you feel like besides language and stuff, did you feel like there was something stopping you from making friends with Korean people?
Definitely international students. It was the language and the culture. Like I don't really listen to K-pop that much. I'm not really that big on like Korean dramas and stuff like that. So at that time, they would talk a lot about like the latest Korean songs. We'd go to karaoke and it would all be Korean songs, for example. And so I started to absorb a lot of that by hanging out with them. But my Australian-born Korean friends, like honestly, zero barrier.
Yeah.
We've had similar upbringings. I can speak the same level of Korean as them. We eat the same food. We hang out in the same areas. So actually that makes a lot of sense as to why my closest friends now are all Australian-born Koreans.
Yeah. And it's not like it's funny because I never really set up any kind of parameters for my socializing. Mm-hmm. I wasn't like, I'll only make these kinds of friends.
Yeah, for sure.
My friends are just friends, right? But it was more apparent to me going to university and seeing a lot more Korean people. And also, I think it was a part of the time in my life where I was just thinking about my cultural identity. I hadn't learned Korean at all formally. Mm-hmm. And I was like, oh, who am I? Trying to get back to my cultural roots. So I tried way harder during university to make Korean friends. But I kept thinking, how do I do that? Right?
Where do you meet Koreans?
Where do I meet? So that's why I did the Korean society stuff in university. And I joined the Taekwondo club in my university. In fact, I joined it as a member. And then the next year I became the social manager for it.
Oh, great.
And then I became the president.
Oh my gosh.
And so that was a big important thing too.
I did not know this, Harry.
Well, yeah, I for my university, like I thought, one, it's good for exercise anyway. Mm-hmm. Two, there were some Korean people who joined the club. And so, and we would do, you know, Korean activities and stuff, which was fun. And our head coach at the time was Korean. So it was this healthy way to reconnect with my culture.
Yeah.
But I do know there are other ways to make Korean friends out there.
Yeah. I mean, predominantly most of my friends and I, we met through a church in high school and there were Korean churches, but an English ministry for English speaking kids of Korean parents.
That's
how we all met.
I like that that's, again, we're talking language and culture here.
Yes, yeah.
So there are people who might not have learnt Korean at all.
No,
you want to bond over a mutual language and, yeah, English, yeah.
Yeah. I actually, growing up, I used to think, because all of my friends were Korean Australians who went to church, I used to think, oh, wow, we're all really similar. But growing up and getting older and meeting more people, I'm realizing that the Korean Australian experience is like pretty diverse.
Yeah.
And it's, yeah, like you're from Wollongong.
Yeah.
I lived in Newcastle for a while. Like it's really diverse and it's quite different. It's not all the same mold, which I think naively, I just looked at myself. I looked at my friends. I thought, oh, hey, we're kind of similar.
Mm.
But there are so many different Koreans with different types of backgrounds and stories in Australia.
Yeah. And you just, I mean, like not to keep overstating the obvious, but it's like you do grow and learn the more different kinds of people you meet. And yeah, I was kind of maybe forced to do that in Wollongong, but I just never thought that it was a thing. Mm-hmm. And then coming into university and then having the opportunity to meet international students from Korea made me go, oh, I want to pursue that now and grow that side of me. And I remember the social aspect of you join these Korean societies and then it's interesting because after the MT, right? Because the MT is during the time where everyone gathers and you exchange like contact details and stuff. But now it's up to you to socialize.
To maintain the...
Yeah. Like, how do you then, well, you have to, this is just like 101 in friendship, like so message them.
What did you do?
Well, okay. This
how
is
did
a,
you hang out?
This is the thing. My closest Korean friends right now, Korean Australian friends, none of them studied the same thing as me. They all studied the same thing as each other. They were all engineers. So I had to kind of put myself out there because we weren't on the same schedule, same timetables. Yep. We weren't in the same classes. So I'd have to message them and be like, hey, let's hang out. I remember my friend Sonny, he lived in the city. I'd just sleep over his place. Mm. And like really just, you have to be proactive about mm-hmm. it. But then on the other side, occasionally these Korean societies would organize things like dinners and stuff. And you'd go and hang out with all these Korean mm-hmm. people. And then an offshoot of that, sometimes you'd be involved in this like matchmaking thing. Have you ever been targeting? Yeah. Wow, have you ever done matchmaking?
No, I haven't.
Oh, this.
Have you?
Oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah. I don't have any successful stories. But what happened was a mutual friend, she, let's just call her Kate. Kate had a friend called Fiona. And Kate messages me and says, hey, like, I know you're single. And first of all, I was like, okay, where is this going? And she goes, I have a friend, Fiona, I think she'd be great. And she goes, what's your Kakao Talk ID, the messenger ID? And I said, oh, this is my messenger ID. I gave it to her. And then she also sent me like a photo. It's like a dating app, but like manual version, right? So I got the photo and then I sent Kate a photo of me. Kate sent that to Fiona. And then Kate made a group chat with all three of us and then she left.
Yes, yeah. Of course.
And so I'm like, oh, okay, this is weird.
Well, that's nice. She made it easy for you. In most cases, they just pass the phone number and they say, can you contact so-and-so?
She was very nice.
That's very nice, yeah.
So anyway, I'm talking to Fiona and this and that. We're exchanging and we agreed on a day to meet. And I'm like, oh, this is cool.
This is the first time you're seeing her.
First time ever. Really nervous, you know. I think, you know, she's quite pretty from the photo I saw. Mm-hmm. I'm like, oh, and she seems really nice. Anyway, on the day, she messages me and she goes, I've got a stomach ache. And I remember thinking, like, it's fine. If someone's sick, I was like, oh, that's fine. But I felt a bit sad, you know, that we weren't able to meet. Mm-hmm. And then I was like, oh, that's fine. Like, maybe we can meet some other time. And then heard nothing.
No way.
No.
What did your friend in the middle say?
I didn't know. I couldn't tell.
Yeah,
Kate.
It makes it like, a bit awkward.
Yeah, because she's putting so much effort into trying. But I just thought that was so interesting that, you know, these Korean societies have this thing of like a blind date set up.
Yeah, it's so common. So sogaeting is, it's essentially when you have a single friend and you have another single friend and you introduce them together.
Yeah.
And it sounds really like basic, but it's so common in Korea. It happens a lot. But, oh, interesting.
Yeah.
And I guess back then that's how people met people.
Yeah, this is pre-dating apps situation.
Pre-dating apps.
Or it was during dating apps, but dating apps weren't as popular as they are now.
And I guess the benefit with sogaeting is that it comes with a bit of a safety net in that you both have a mutual friend. So you can't be that weird.
Exactly.
Someone can vouch for you.
Yeah, and the funny thing is you spoke about it in making friends, but like the age thing and what we're studying was like the first bits of information. Like, it's so funny to think about dating apps and dating culture. Like, in Korea, we've got a very popular dating show called Singles Inferno. Mm-hmm. And the contestants, they can either go to Paradise or they can go to Inferno. Now, if you think about Paradise in a dating show and you're talking about single, beautiful, hot, sexy contestants, what are they going to do in Paradise? You go, oh, but in Korea, in the Korean dating show, what do?
They talk about their age and their occupation.
That's right. You can only talk about your age and your occupation Paradise. Whereas, you know, in Australia, we've got a dating show called F-Boy Island. Like it's it's a completely different.
Yeah.
It's a different vibe altogether.
Yeah.
What was your experience with sogaeting or anything like that, or dating in general?
I've never tried sogaeting.
Oh, really?
Yeah, or dating apps.
Yeah.
So I'm not too sure what that feels like or looks like. I just, you know, live vicariously through my friends sometimes
Which
and I hear of their stories.
Delicious. I love that.
But actually very interesting. When I was growing up, I vowed to never date or marry a Korean Australian or Korean.
And now,
spoiler alert, I am married to a Australian-born Korean. We haven't been married for that long, but still every occasion for my family to meet my husband, they always say, every family meeting, they always say, oh, did you know Shona used to say she's never going to marry a Korean? And here we are. My mom always brings this up. She'll never let me forget it.
So what was the reason why you vowed never to marry a Korean man?
I think, you know, I mean, Harry, you are a Korean man, so I'm being very careful about...
Personally, no, it's fine.
Very, very careful. But I think I just felt like a lot of Korean men have often, they struggle with this. I mean, you've described it. We've spoken about this before and you've described it as hun, that male rage.
Mm.
But a lot of men, Korean men in Australia as well, I found that a lot of them are, when they're triggered, they get very like... fiery, and their anger levels are like a different
type. It explodes
a little bit. Like, ooh. I think that was my stereotypical view of Korean men.
Was this your experience?
It was just my view of how I thought Korean men were.
Okay.
And I had seen examples of it happen. I had seen situations when I felt like they were a lot more angry than usual. So I just developed this thought of like, okay, Korean men must be a lot more angrier than non-Korean men. And I also felt like they grow up watching their mums do everything in the house because I don't know about your parents, but it's such a first generation thing where the mum does the cooking, then she does the washing, and the dad kind of sits there and he's like, oh, I'd like a glass of water. And then we all get up, the kids get up and we get water for him and stuff like that. I mean, it's different. Every family is very different. But I guess I just had that lens. And I thought it doesn't matter if they're born in Australia or they've been educated in Australia. They've seen their mum and they've seen how their dads are treated by their mum. And I just didn't want that power inequality or just that inequality of housework and division of labor and all of that stuff. I just didn't want anything to do with it. But yeah, here I am, married, happily married to a Korean man in Australia. And then a lot of those stereotypes have been healthily disproven.
Yeah. And that's good. Yeah, but it's obviously like... I don't think you're wrong in what you're thinking, like seeing, because, you know, Korea's patriarchal sort of structure, like that's absolutely something that exists and cultural elements that bleed into the family unit.
And also because I'm not super Korean in the sense of like, I'm born and raised in Australia, so a lot of my cultural values are Australian. I also know that Korean adults have a certain expectation for their sons' wives or sons' partners. Yes. And a lot of that can be a little bit conservative and a little bit outdated still. Again, it's very case by case.
Yeah.
But, you know, I have friends who say that, I have friends who are dating non-Koreans and they don't prefer to date Koreans. I actually have a close friend who says, never will date a Korean.
Yeah.
And she's currently not with a Korean. But then I also have friends who say that they always want to date a Korean because they feel that familiarity.
Yes.
And that understanding.
Yes.
So it's very interesting how much culture can play and shape your experience in relationships and friends.
Yeah, well, like it's funny because I remember going to uni and seeing a lot of the Korean international students only hang with Korean international students, you know.
And me
being like a bit boisterous and whatever and not really caring about that kind of stuff, I'd want to be friends with them. And I wanted to show them that there's nothing too intimidating about making friends with someone that's not an international student from Korea. And I'm not trying to generalize here. Obviously, some did make friends with everybody.
Mm-hmm.
But a lot of the times, I remember they would stick together and only hang out together, only socialize together. And I thought, it is a little bit of a shame because you can grow so much by pushing those boundaries. But on the other side, I actually get it because it's scary to, you know, have to confront maybe your lack of language proficiency.
And
a lot more misunderstandings can come about when you can't sort of communicate how exactly you feel.
Yeah.
And it's hard enough to live outside your home country and to have to study and do all this stuff. And so there's a certain level of home and comfort from socializing with people from your home.
Yeah.
But that's the cool thing about church groups and these Korean university societies where people can meet and sort of connect with culture but also socialize and make friends.
Mm-hmm.
I do really like that these days online you can find a lot of social circles where people gather and, you know, from all backgrounds and like just hang. You know, even your community initiatives like the ones that you run, COSICOM, I've heard of people meeting through, you know, the online platform COSICOM on Instagram, right? So it's great nowadays where social media is connecting all of us. And I'm a little jealous that I didn't have that growing up as a younger man, but I think we're in a good place.
Yeah, definitely. And hoping that it breeds a lot more collaboration and creativity and just a lot more confidence in who you are.
Yeah.
We've both experienced being one of very few Koreans in the spaces that you go to. So having an awareness that you're not the only one, that you have a community, it gives you the confidence wherever you are.
Yeah.
Whether it's the workplace, whether it's just in your own creative passions, I guess it gives you a little bit more of that, that confidence.
Now, do you have any advice for anyone who, let's say, Australian Korean person who's maybe wanting to connect with their Korean culture and identity, but have no Korean friends, how to kind of get started with that kind of thing, like making Korean friends, seeking Korean communities?
I actually think one of our biggest strengths as a Korean community, we tend to be very close-knit.
Mm.
So I think it's a huge strength. I remember one of our church members had their grandma passed away.
Mm.
And I saw how the entire kind of community rallied around them. And literally they had meals in their fridge for 3-4 weeks after.
Oh.
And people were there every night, just on rotation.
Beautiful.
And just doing housework, just sitting with them. And that was just a real example of how the community bands together. But I guess on the flip side of that, it's also one of our biggest weaknesses in that we can be very insular and we can be very often exclusive, and it can feel quite like that. And so I think being conscious of that would be my advice, whether you're someone who has a lot of Korean Australian friends or Korean friends, or someone who's wanting to make a lot of Korean Australian friends, just be conscious of that and don't let that deter you from continuing to persist in being a friend. Because a lot of the times it's not because we're closed off or we don't want non-Korean friends. It's actually just because in our community, we are very familial. We are very close-knit. And so that can be a hard perception and mold to break. But once you do, it actually makes it. A lot of my Korean friends are so loyal, are so fiercely. There's a lot of chong, which is that sense of attachment and stickiness and warmth and that you can't really find in a lot of other cultures. And they're so good in that way. I really cherish my Korean friends. Having said that, I also cherish my non-Korean friends too.
Of course, yeah.
We love you all. But yeah, some advice would be, I don't know. I think it's pretty scary because a lot of my friends, I have met them through church. And so that's, there's this saying that every Korean knows, that you all know each other.
Mm.
People used to say that, oh, do you also know every Korean? Mm. Or you probably know my other Korean friend. That's what my non-Korean friends say to me. They're like, oh, you're Korean? Or do you know my other non-Korean mate? I'm like, oh my gosh, I actually do. I have like 10 mutual friends with them on Facebook.
What, actually?
Actually, like, oh, that's happened goodness. So many times where I'd be like, yeah, I know of them.
Wow.
And I think it kind of speaks to that close-knit, So I don't know, Harry, like how do you find friends that are Korean? I mean, there's Korean Cultural Center, there's organizations out there that are trying to run initiatives, but deep and meaningful friendships, how do you?
For me, I would say go to these Korean events. Like the Korean cultural events. Like if you hear about, there's like, you know, Korean musicians out there that perform at specific events and festivals or whatever, they attract Korean audience, audience members from all types of demographics, but they'll attract Korean audience members and if you go to those, it's so easy to socialize. Like you just go and like, you know, gather at these points of interest, you know?
Mm.
And so Korean Cultural Center, big one. Having all these events, like another one, this is probably going too hardcore, but you can take Korean language lessons.
Yeah. That's a great one.
Yeah, sign up to them online. This is if you don't have you want to grow your strength in Korean language. But it's so funny because I've heard stories of people starting Korean language learning classes and meeting other Australian Koreans who are learning, wanting to learn
Makes
Korean,
sense.
And
yeah.
you just bonds.
Yeah.
Like, you know, it's a mutual interest. I mean, sounds very basic.
Sporting groups.
Yeah. It's mutual interest. Yeah. But, you know, it really does take a proactive attitude.
Yeah, it does.
And you got to go out there. And, you know, you'll feel sensitive and you'll get hurt, but, you know,
and
you'll
grow. You really don't have any other options, then you can contact Harry. He'll
I'm
be
more
your
than
friend.
Happy to be. Oh, I love everybody. Come on. Let's hang out.
And Harry, I think I really want to mention and emphasize that being Korean Australian is so awesome. And our culture and community is really different. And we're kind of paving the way forward in a sense, because the Korean community in Australia, the diaspora community there is massive. They've got a lot of organizations dedicated to Korean American representation, a lot of the organizations there, but we have a relatively shorter history. And so we're still kind of figuring things out as the second gen Korean Australians. So I think we're in a really unique space, and it's really cool to be able to chat through some of these issues and to find people who can understand and relate to what we're going through, because it is quite unique.
Don't forget to follow Say Kimchi in the SBS audio app or your preferred podcast app. And if you've got any questions for us, drop us an email at saykimchi@sbs.com.au. And if you want to check out all our notes and episodes, go to sbs.com.au/saykimchi.
And follow us on our social media @_HarryJun_ and @KozzyCom. That's K-O-Z-Z-I-E-C-O-M.
That was Say Kimchi, everybody. 3, 2, 1,
Say Kimchi!